to John chapter 15 again this evening. John 15. And we're at the latter part of the chapter. Trying to get right through this evening from verse 9 right through to the end of verse 27. Right to the end of the chapter. From 9 to 27. And in these verses, I want to underline four things for you. The first one, I want to talk about the believer's prospect as he walks in fellowship with the true vine. And the prospect is this: that your joy might be full. You see, if we can really walk this walk of faith in full fellowship with Him who is our all-sufficiency, then the production can be fullness of joy at times. We can get right on to the height. The Lord Jesus is saying in this wonderful discourse that your joy might be full. And that's the believer's prospect as he walks in fellowship with Him who is his all-sufficiency. And then I want to touch on the believer's position as he works. You see, not only are we the servants of the Lord, but the Lord desires that we should come much closer. Ye are my friends. This is really the position as we work in that corner of the vineyard where the Lord has placed us. And then there's a wonderful part at the end of this chapter, the believer's place in the world. Why, we've been chosen out of the world. We're in it, all right, but we're not of it. And there's tremendous teaching here about the believer and his place in the world. And then the chapter finishes with the believer's power as he witnesses. Now, these are so much linked together that one couldn't dare to separate them, and we must take them all this evening. The believer's prospect as he walks, the believer's position as he works, the believer's place in the world, and the believer's power as he witnesses. Very precious portion this evening. Now we're starting right back there at verse 9. I think that you'll remember this, that in chapter 14 our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you." And then you remember how he emphasized, "My peace I give unto you." You see, that's something that belongs to the believer. His mind ought to be filled with peace. Yes, peace that passeth all understanding. You remember how I differentiated between these two? He says peace. That was the subject of peace, of course. The truth about peace. That was peace with God. That's peace that came by the blood of the cross. But then the other, my peace, is the peace of God. This belongs to every blood-bought believer. This is yours if you go in for it. You ought to have your mind filled with peace. And now he's saying in this chapter, you ought to have your soul filled with joy. And the pathway to the mind filled with peace and the soul filled with joy is to have your heart filled with love. Because the three are very intimately connected right through the scripture. Love, joy, peace. But the believer ought to have his mind filled with peace, and he ought to have his soul filled with joy, and the way to it is to get your heart filled with love. Now you watch the Lord leading you into this. He's talking about his love here in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. My last phrase shows us the measurement of Christ's love. It's so great, you know. As the Father hath loved me, just think how much the Father loves him, so have I loved you. I think you're bound to get this in a glance, that the Father's love for Christ was unchanging love. You wouldn't like to come round afterwards and tell me that it changed at any time. Well, that's the kind of love that Christ has for you. Unchanging love. And the Father's love for Christ was unending love. I'm loved this evening with the very same kind of love as the Father loved the Son. So the Son loves me. And that's unending. It will never end. It's true to saying I'm loved with everlasting love. Yes, it's unending and it's unchanging. And I want to say this, it's unparalleled. There is no love like the love of Jesus. And I could go on like that forever so long, but I'm only starting new thinking. You're looking now at the measurement of Christ's love, and it's so great. Ah, yes, it's passive knowledge. It will never be able to plumb the depths or scale the heights or length or breadth of the love of Christ. It's passive knowledge. But he's just telling you, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. That's the measurement of his love, and it's so great. Then he quickly said behind that, continue ye in my love. And that's the encouragement. And it was so sincere. You know, I think that this is what was happening. He had these disciples standing around him. They were marching, remember, to Gethsemane at this time. And I feel that they strolled along in the shadows that evening to Gethsemane, that he might have stopped and said, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you, in spite of what you are. And then he makes a plea to them, continue ye in my love. Or the word that's used there, that word continue, is the word that we've been studying right down the chapter. It's the word abide. And it's the very same Greek word too. It's the word abide. Because he's been teaching them what abiding meant. And he's just showing them the full orb vision of the wonderful ocean of his love. And he said, look, abide in it. My, that was sincere. No matter how dark the day may get, remember that he loves you. Never mind about the problems and the knots and the disappointments. Just get the hold of this, that he really loves you, and get into it. And he who loves you won't cause you a needless tear. He wants you now. You want to abide there. That's what he said to them. And he's saying that now to you. And when your dark days come, and the storm is battering upon you, and the boat is almost filled with water, and you feel the whole thing's at an end, and you stand at which end corner, will you remember this? That he pleaded with you. He pleaded with you. Abide in my love. You want to remember that. That's the encouragement that's here. And then he went on further. Verse 9 again. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And that was an announcement that was perfectly clear. You know, if you're really going to know something of the wonder and the thrill and the height and depth and length and breadth of this love, let me tell you this, you'll have to be an obedient disciple. My dear friends, there's no getting out of this. This is the Lord walking down the road and he's talking to them. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in this love. If ye keep my commandments, you'll be found in the very center of this love, abiding. And if you don't, you won't. My, you'll miss something. You'll never get the thrill of it. Don't tell me that the people who can throw the book below their feet and wipe their feet on it and disobey his commandments, and one of them is believer's baptism. I mean, you don't like that. You love to shout about popery, don't you? You need to learn to obey the book too. Because there's no use of you shouting about popery when you're stuck in it. So there's not. You would need to get away from it. Because, mind you, sprinkling was never found in this book. It came from pagan Rome. And you would need to get away from it. There's no use of shouting, you know. You need to obey God's word. If ye keep my commandments, said Christ. You hear that? That announcement is absolutely clear. The Lord Jesus is talking. Now go on again. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's the measurement. Continue ye in my love. That's the encouragement. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the announcement. And then he comes to the point, you see, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's the enrichment, you know. You know, I think this is a lovely teaching. Oh, how wonderful our Lord was. He's walking down this dark road to Gethsemane, and the gates are looming far ahead there, and he knows everything that's going to happen. And how very tender he was with all these disciples. He's trying to let them see how much he loves them. And he's trying to encourage them to enter into the very depths of that love and let it protect them in the days to come. And he's showing them how they can enter in. Only obey my commandments. And then he says, if you do, you know, your joy will be full. You wouldn't tell me that you could know the fullness of joy while you're tearing up God's word, would you? Ah, you couldn't bluff me like that. You men and women in this meeting who are disobeying God's word every day you live, you have never really tasted the fullness of joy. And you won't, you know. You can fiddle around with closing your eyes in the back room and giving yourself to God 1,000 times every day and calling it holiness and second blessing and sanctification. But until you come to obey God's word, that's what Christ's teaching you. May I be amused at all the talk sometimes when the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you learn to obey, you'll very soon find that your heart will be bubbling over. And like the psalmist, you'll be able to say, my cup runneth over. Why, when you obey. Obedience, you know, is better than sacrifice. This is good teaching this year. Now, watch it go still further. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. I have loved you. Now, you saw the measurement, didn't you? And you saw the encouragement, and you saw the announcement, and you saw the enrichment. Now, this is the commandment. Now, this is very humbling. Now, this really struck me as I got down to think about it, that the Lord Jesus, coming down this road with an arm round this one and walking slowly and expounding these wonderful things to them, he said, this is my commandment. I think that he had to command us to love one another. How humbling that is. You know, he must have really known what we were made of. Now we talk behind each other's back, and we criticize, and we pull apart, and we do so many things we should never do to another brother, that the Lord has to command us to love one another. Saved at the same cross, washed in the same blood, going to the same glory, in the same body. Yet we have to be commanded. Now what? How humbling this is. See that wee finger there, when it gets hurt, that one there wraps it up. Because it's in the same body. But it doesn't happen with a believer, you know. My, when a wee finger gets hurt, the other boys all trample on it. How humbling this is. And there's none of us escaping this, you know. You had to command me to love you. Oh, how horrible. Let's go on. You can hardly face the truth, can you? Now, you're getting this, aren't you? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's the measurement. Oh, what wonderful love that is. You should meditate on that sometime. And here's the encouragement. Continue ye in my love. Abide there. And then here is the announcement. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Then here is the enrichment. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. And then here is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then here's the fulfillment. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We're a long way from that, aren't we? I often wonder, would we really lay down our lives for one another? You see, I believe that he was looking at these disciples here, and he can see them, the finished article, his friends. Not so much sinners, you know, this time. His friends. It's like giving himself for the church. Oh, I know he died for sinners, I know that. I know he died for the ungodly, of course I do. But I know he looked at us as friends. Gave his life for us. Don't forget that. He saw it in that light too. He loved me. gave himself for me. And you know, he did leave an example, didn't he? Don't let me be misunderstood here. That unsaved people do not need examples from the life of Christ. They need life from the death of Christ first. You begin at the cross, dear. Not an example from the life of Christ that you need. It's life from the death of Christ you need. You need to get life first. Then you can follow after the footsteps, but not until you get life. And then there are great examples. So you can trace this, can't you? The prospect before every believer walking with the Lord and abiding in his love is this, that you might be filled with joy. What a lovely one. Now, the moment that he touched friends, he took up the subject again. That's where it changes, you see. And that's why I said they're all connected. He looked at them and he said, "Ye are my friends." I think that's very lovely, you know. You know, when a man reaches, shall we say, the highest peak in the nation, supposing he comes right up to be the Prime Minister, and he looks down at some common workman that he went to school with, and he acknowledges, "This is my friend." You know, it's a wonderful thing. Of course, if the common workman put it round the other way and said, "He's my friend," that's not what is meant here. That may even be impudence or conceit. But when it comes from the up down, it's the proper way. I preached at a very large conference once in Scotland with about 4,000 people there. And about 10 great dignitaries on the platform. And just before I went forward to preach, the Minister of Labour here in the north of Ireland was on the platform, Major Neil. And he just got up and went forward to the rostrum and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Minister of Labour in Northern Ireland's Parliament, and this man is my friend." I thought it was very nice of him. He didn't need to do it. And when he sat down, the Minister of Health now, who's W. Morgan, he just got up behind him and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Minister of Health in Northern Ireland, and this man is my friend." I could hardly open my mouth for tears. I'm just a wee fella from a back street, but he is two of the heads of our government. And how very humble of them to acknowledge this. But when the Lord Jesus looks at me and says, "You're my friend," oh, how wonderful it is. Can you see it now? "Calls me his friend. You're my friend." But you are, dear. You're just a woman from the back seat, aren't you? Well, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is looking into your face now and saying, "Ye are my friend." You know, there's something about friendship, you know. Friendship, you know, if you're in the job where I am, well, you meet so many people, but you have only a few intimate friends. Friends who will always be your friends. Who will stand by you through thick and thin. And you know, your friends are privileged people. Because they get to know all the secrets. And all the burdens. And everything that goes on in the inner life. You know, you don't keep secrets back from your friends. Abraham was called the friend of God. And remember, he's the only Old Testament character who was called hand of God. And when God determined to blot out Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, it seemed that God had to stop on the brow of the hill and say, "Shall I keep this from Abraham, my friend?" And he couldn't keep it from him. He had to tell him. And he told him the night before. He told him what he was going to do.
You see, if you're really a friend, you get the secret of the Lord.
But wait a minute, don't run away too quick. There's something more here. Read the whole text. I wouldn't like to break it like that. Verse 14.
"Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you."
Remember that friendship is definitely linked with lordship. Oh, you just can't be called a friend if you're not prepared to own him as your Lord. You must see that. You know, so many people think they can just do as they like and link their arm in the arm of the Lord. Well, you just can't. You won't be walking with him at all. You'll be walking afar off.
Yes, ye are my friends, and that's worth going in for, if ye do, listen to it, whatsoever.
And don't start arguing with them. They'll leave you standing at the corner where you're arguing. Don't start arguing.
Friendship is definitely linked with lordship.
Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Then he gets into the depth. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. You see, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You know, it's wonderful what he really tells his friends. And you know, if you really want to know the secret of the Lord, you know, you'll have to bow down low in the dust and crown him definitely Lord of all and be prepared to promptly obey his word when he speaks. It'll test you out, you know. You just don't come talking and saying, "Lord, Lord." Because, you know, so many draw nigh onto him with their lips, but their hearts far from him. And he'll test you. And you know, if you're really prepared to crown him as Lord of your life and do whatsoever he says unto you, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And I'll tell you this, you'll get to know a whole lot of things that this poor old world never knows. You know, those saints at Thessalonica, they were only a week or two saved when Paul penned the letter back. And here's what he penned in it. "Thou knowest perfectly." Oh, just the babes in Christ. What did they know perfectly? "Thou knowest perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when the worldlings say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape." And the babes in Christ knew it. And you'll get to know a whole lot of wee things. Yes. You'll need to live with the Lord. Friendship is linked with lordship. And then lordship is linked with fellowship. You see, you get in close by being obedient to his words. And in that close place he calls you friends, and he treats you as friends. And he begins to tell you things that are in the heart of the power. Oh, that fellowship. Mary sat at his feet. There it is, word.
And I want you to notice here that there's something more attached to this. See verse 14 again. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. I think that the real teaching here is this, you know. Ye have not chosen me as a friend, but I have chosen you. And that goes on down through every department. You know, they were not only chosen as friends, not only chosen as servants, not only chosen as vessels, as apostles. How they were the chosen. Few. 11 apostles walking down the road. He gave them their niche. Yes, you see this. Friendship and lordship and fellowship and apostleship are all wonderfully connected here. Wonderfully connected are the ideas this, that your very place in the body and your very power before the throne all comes because I'm your friend and dear mine. That's the idea. You see, friend, here's how he ended this. You can hardly see the connection unless you look out of sight. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Did you get the hold of this? Look, their portion and their position and the power before the throne of God is all connected with this friendship that comes because of lordship. Do you want to know how to pray to get answers? Well, I'll very soon tell you. Here it says in the words of God. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence before God, and whatsoever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Well, that's it. You see, confidence is linked with conduct. And your conduct is when you keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And when you do it, that's lordship. That brings you into the place of friendship. And that brings you into the place of fellowship, where you can go right through and you have power to ask in his holy name and you'll get answers. Lovely, you know, to be a friend of the king. All right, now we come to something that's still more difficult. He ends that little paragraph with the very same phrase, "These things I command you." See, this love for each other and this love for him is the foundation that takes us into the fullness of joy, and by when we are confessed as friends of the king. Now look at how he begins verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for the sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father.
This cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. And here's tremendous teaching. It's touching the believer's place in the world. You see, believers are chosen people, and on this occasion, what? I have chosen you out of the world. Verse 19.
You see, it is quite true that we're in the world tonight, but we're not of it. It is quite true that many of you have to mix every day with worldlings. But you don't need to do as the worldlings do, you know. You see, you are a peculiar people. You're in it, but not of it. But let me tell you this. If you live in this peculiar place, you'll be persecuted.
Just why you'll be persecuted. If you just live in this peculiar place, you'll have persecution. That's what the Master was telling them. Yes, but I want you to notice more. You see, this people that's chosen out of the world, he said in verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. You see, this is a professing people. You know what they did to the Lord? Watch the two things. Did you notice it? Verse 22. Had I not come and spoken unto them? See, verse 24. Had I not done among them the works? You see, you must be a professing peculiar person. Yes, your words and your work must magnify his name. And if they do, you'll get persecuted. You just go and talk about Christ tomorrow. You just live for Christ tomorrow. You just bring a message. And you just do for the work. You'll find you're in the very same mix as he was in. You'll be persecuted. You see, we're a peculiar people and we're a professing people. My, when you start to talk about the Lord leading you, you know, to some people, they just think you're mad. And when you go on in this, they would persecute you for it. But you know, we want to be more than just a peculiar professing. There must be a production from our life. And the only thing that will glorify God is the production of the fruit of the vine, which is Christ. And you know, when you begin to let this world see something of the peculiar person you are, and the profession you make, and the production you bring forth, you're going to be persecuted. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution is the plain teaching of God's word. Now you see, this was bound to bear a mark on these boys. I want you to see them. It was all right while he put his arms round them and talked about being filled with peace and being filled with love and being filled with joy. And you're my friends, but here's a new bit. My, there's hatred and persecution waiting for you around the corner. That's the place that you have in this world. And now he comes to the real teaching. That's why I couldn't break it. You see, there's a but there, isn't there? Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, You see, I want you to get the hold of that. This is very rich. You see, here we're standing, just 11 common, ordinary 5/8 following the Master. And he's about to leave them, and he told them that he was the all-sufficiency at the beginning of this chapter. And he told them that they could get fullness of peace for their minds, and fullness of joy for their souls, and fullness of love for their hearts. How is this to be got? By the power of the Comforter. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do not ask to stir it up yet. How are we going to enter into the depths of fellowship and lordship until we get the secret of the Lord by the Holy Ghost? What do you think? By the Holy Ghost. I think they might have turned around and said, Lord, Lord, how are we going to face the world? How are we going to face this persecution? How are we going to face the hatred of men? By the power of the Holy Ghost! You see the importance now of being filled with the Spirit, because it will produce love, joy, peace. It will bring you into the near peace and fellowship where you can get answers to prayer. And it will make you more than conqueror even in the evil day. You mustn't forget that. But watch, there's something more here. First of all, you see the Comforter here, don't you? Here's a lovely little phrase, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Now the Comforter is here. I want you to get the hold of this. This is very wonderful. He's walking down the slope to Gethsemane, isn't he? And horrible, dreadful Gethsemane lies ahead there. And just a little bit from that is Gabbatha, where they strip the robe from his back and rips his back into furrows, where they pull the hairs from his cheeks and crush the thorns upon his brow. And a little bit further on is Golgotha. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. He's not worried. He says, I'll go right through it, you know, and back home and send the Comforter. And the old modernists who write in this city of Belfast of all and say that when he was in Gethsemane, he didn't know where he was and was confused, you just take them back a step or two and let them know. But he talked about sending the Holy Ghost from the Father before he ever entered Gethsemane. Of course, they run past these phrases. This is the conqueror talking. He's not worried, you know. He's not trembling. He's almost at the gate of Gethsemane. But he says, I'll conquer this thing. I'll send the Comforter. My, this is the victor. But you don't only see his victory in this phrase. I think you see more. Have a look back at chapter 14 and 26. Chapter 14, 26. Speaking of the same event, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Ah, did you see that? You see, away back there in 14, it was the Father who was sending the Comforter. But just to let these fellows see really who he was, at the end of 15, he said, I will send. So that you don't only see the victor, you see the equality of the blessed Lord with the Father, and the whole Trinity is appearing on the page. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, the So that here you see the victory and the unity and the equality and the deity of our Lord Jesus. How much is in that wonderful phrase? But there's a little bit more here. Yes, the Comforter is here, and the Conqueror is here. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. You see, he changes that. Yes, the Comforter is one title, because that's how he comes to us, to walk with us down through this horrible, dreadful pathway of persecution and hatred that will come to you from the world if you really live as a peculiar, professing, producing person. Yes, he'll come to you as a comforter. But you know, there's a little bit more than that. He'll come to you as the Spirit of Truth. Oh, how I prove this. Why, here I am tonight, and here you are. My, what a crowd sitting round the Word of God, listening to a common 5-8 from a back street. Yes? Oh, yes. No scholar, of course not. No, but one who sat at the feet of Jesus and was taught by the Spirit of Truth, who knows all truth. Oh, I just lay on the hills and let them fill my soul with truth at times. It's been lovely to do it too. And I shall do it for all eternity. You know, when I get up there, I'm only practicing now. Ah, here's the sacrifier. He can tell you what's what and what's not what. Yes, he's here. Then I want you to notice this. He shall testify of me. Oh, what a phrase that is. You know, he's the champion of the Lord. You see that little phrase, just 5 words. It begins with he, doesn't it? Well, it ends with me. And I'll tell you this, young people. If you want to know when the Holy Ghost is really working in your life, whatever begins with he, it will end with Christ, because he has come to testify of Christ. When the Holy Ghost is working in the beginning, Christ is exalted. Whatever begins with he, it will end with Christ. See that book? That book began with he, the Holy Ghost, its author. Who's seen in the book? Christ. To him gave all the prophets witness. Every type and shadow and parallel and picture and promise and prophecy of the Old Testament exalts the Lord. See my Christian life. Who began this work in me? Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost came and convicted me of my deep dire desperate need. What will the finished article be like? I'll be like Christ. I'll be like Christ. That'll be the finished article. See this big world of ours. Yes, who brought it into being? The Spirit of God brewed it. Listen to this. Who'll be glorified on every wave of the sea and on every inch of the land? The whole world will be full of the glory of the Lord. Whatever begins with the Holy Ghost will end with the glorifying of the Lord Jesus. So you're bound to know where you are. That's the champion. But look at this. The children are here. Yes, the Comforter is here. Yes, the Conqueror is here. Yes, the Sacrifier is here. Yes, the champion is here. And ye also shall bear witness. All the children are here. You know, isn't it lovely that the great eternal God has so planned that we who have come as repentant sinners to the cross and accepted His Son as our own and personal Savior, that we should be indwelt by the Holy Ghost, that we too should be witnesses of Christ. Are ye also? Ye also. For the Holy Ghost didn't come to do it without you. He came to do it through you. Yes, watch this, wee bit.
Ye also shall be witnesses.
Now that's a challenge. That's what you are, you know. That you're a witness. Witness for Christ. I think I said to this meeting once that I saw a great cartoon in an American paper once of about 100 trying to get onto the bus at the same time. No queue. And in the midst of the bus, holding up his Bible and sticking his umbrella down somebody's back was an old minister. And it said under the cartoon, even getting onto a bus, thou art a witness for Christ. So you are, you know. And you know, once when one of the greatest translators this world ever had was working on the translation of the scriptures in China, in a part of China that he didn't thoroughly understand the language, and he had to get a great linguist from the Chinese to help him. And he said, I felt that I could never speak to this man about Christ. But as we went through the Gospels and he told me words to put in, I felt that he must be seeing something of the beauty of the Lord. And when we had the work completed, before I could let him go, I felt I should say something to him. He said, would you not like to be a Christian? He said, yes, as I went through this wonderful life of your wonderful Lord, I feel every day that I would love to be a Christian if I could only see one. He said, but I'm not. Oh, no, sir. He said, in between when we took our lunch, you were backbiting other believers away on the hill. And you were saying things about others who profess to know this Lord. And you've done so much that I feel that you're not a Christian. And the poor translator was broken down at this. And got down on his knees before the man and begged God to forgive him for the way he had acted and the poor miserable light he'd been shining, that he hadn't been witnessing for the Lord at all. And he did it so humbly and so completely that the man at his side said, at last you're acting like a Christian. You act like a Christian. Never mind about the Baptist just now. You're not a witness for the Baptist, you know. You're a witness for Christ. My two sons are here. I live with them. I need to be a witness for Christ in there. Your children here? Your employer here? Your master here? Do you act in the business like Christ? You're a witness. Let me tell you this. You only bring glory to His name when from the early dawn of the day to the last ray of light at night, you're controlled by the Holy Ghost.
brother and your sister. Go home with this thought. Just be still now for a moment or two. Not sing any more tonight. Dear Lord, we have walked that road to Gethsemane with thee this evening. And we have heard thee saying that these things thou hast said unto us that our joy might be full. And we know that you long to fill our minds with peace, and long to fill our souls with joy, but oh Lord, you must fill our hearts with love. And this love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And oh Lord, if we love thee, we will keep thy commandments. Lord, when we keep thy commandments, thou wilt say to us very tenderly, ye are my friends. And thou wilt take us into the secret place, and thou wilt show us things to come, and the secret of the Lord will be with them that fear him. And thou wilt allow us to come to the throne, and we'll get answers to our prayers. But, O Lord, all this will only make us stand out as peculiar, professing, producing people, and the world that hates thee will hate us. Oh, Lord, we'll be persecuted, despised, rejected of men. But the Comforter will be with us. Yea, he shall lead us into all truth. And we bless thee that he'll produce thee in us. Lord, every day we live and everywhere we go and everything we do, we'll be witnesses for thee. Oh, Lord, plant this portion in our hearts this evening and then work it out in our lives to the everlasting glory of thy name. Part us in thy fear, and with thy touch, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.